morning, sir. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, so the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse will be conducting the hearing, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Good afternoon. Mr. Bocchetti, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Bocchetti, very close.
Bocchetti, okay. And I should have known that. I've studied a little Italian, but not
really. Yeah, just a little bit, yep.
Okay, all right. If you would just please restate your full name and your ABC number for the record.
Certainly. Enrique Carlos Bocchetti III, 110094.
Okay, thank you, sir. You're coming before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is in reference to a general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge hearing. So any of those three are being considered today.
And very good, thank you.
You will become eligible on May 5th of this year. So whatever the board would decide today, if one of those or anything else, it wouldn't come effective until that date anyway. So just
very
so
good.
You keep
thank
that
you.
In mind. I also would just make a note that you have a sentence end date that's shown on your record as May 4th of 2024. So
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Yes, you have a sentence end date.
Oh.
Of May 4th, 2024.
Correct.
But you're probably aware. Okay, you're aware of that. All right. So I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. Present today, we have the Honorable Louis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct the hearing. And I'll just start with a kind of a review, and I'll give you the opportunity to correct if you hear me say anything that's not correct. Okay, sir?
Okay, very good.
All right.
Very good.
So
and please understand that the intercom is not the clearest in the world, so it's all right if I ask you to repeat?
Please do. Please, we want you to understand, yes. Understand.
Very good, thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Bocchetti, you're 56 now, is that correct?
That is correct, ma'am.
Okay. And you're serving 10 years for the crime of attempted sexual exploitation of a minor. And that was cited as a dangerous crime against children. And that occurred on October 1st, 1993. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. About how old were you then, sir?
I believe I was 31.
31, okay. And you've already served a previous sentence of 15 years, and that one's expired. And that was for another attempted sexual exploitation of a minor sentence. Is that correct?
Yes, there were two photographs, and I got 15 years for one and lifetime probation for the other, correct?
Okay, gotcha. Okay, and you were convicted by plea on November 3rd, 94, and sentenced on December 5th, 94, is that right?
That sounds right, yes, ma'am.
Close. And did you appeal your conviction, sir?
I did not. Rule 32. I believe I attempted to, and they denied the attempt.
Okay, so Rule 32 only. Okay. All right, sir. And it looks like, so you said you received lifetime probation. So this prison term, then, is this the result of a revocation of that?
That is correct, ma'am.
Okay, I see it now. I have your sentencing documents right here. Okay. All right, sir. So when you finish this sentence, then will you be on lifetime probation?
No, I will not be.
Okay, so this will take the place of the lifetime probation.
Correct. Well, I've already done 9.5 years of treatment and probation. In between the 11-year sentence and the sentence I'm doing now.
Right, but lifetime probation would go the rest of your life.
According to the name it would be. However, when you're out there in treatment, they try to tell you about 7 years. So one has a hope of getting off of it. But yes, as far as I'm concerned, and as you just said, it could go on for life, correct?
Okay, all right, sir. And just looking at your criminal history, it doesn't look like you had too much of a criminal history. I see a selling narcotics crime in 1989, and you received jail probation for that?
What was the grant, ma'am?
It was sales of narcotics or sales of...
Yes, ma'am. In California?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought it was a possession of controlled substance, yes.
Well, it may be because they kind of abbreviate things sometimes, and we can't really... We kind of have to guess what the charge was, so...
Right. In fact, that's why they aggravated my sentence, oddly enough. They weren't even sure if it was a felony or a misdemeanor, and I missed some kind of drug aversion therapy by... like 3 weeks, so I ended up doing some county jail time, and in this hearing they said that, well, it must have been a felony, and so therefore we're going to enhance your sentence. So yeah, I got punished for that one, it seems, twice. Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, let's see, I'll see what this calls it. I'm not sure what they called it at this time, the severity. Well, they're calling it a felony here in this report.
Yeah, they asked somebody and nobody knew, and they just went ahead and assumed it. And it probably was. Like I said, if I had been 3 weeks later or 3 weeks earlier, I guess there'd be a drug aversion therapy class they give you, and then it would have been brought down to a misdemeanor.
Okay.
But I missed that. Yeah, so it probably was a felony, yes.
Okay, all right. So it looks like you've had a pretty decent record in prison regarding discipline. You have no majors.
Correct.
And it looks like your last minor was in 2015 for unauthorized smoking, and you only had 3 other minors in your entire prison term.
And that is correct, ma'am.
Okay, so that's commendable. We certainly see many other people who have, with this amount of time, who have more discipline than that.
I can imagine, yes, ma'am.
So that is commendable.
Thank you.
It appears that this is your 6th hearing before this board, although, let me look, there may have been other reasons that you were here. They probably weren't out for parole.
I would love to chat with somebody about that, because it's been very confusing when a counselor, when a CO3 here explained to me that this would be my 6th one. I've only been to, this will be my 3rd one. And I'm amazed that somehow they said I failed to appear and that I denied wanting to come, and there's all kinds of interesting things on a record. But as far as I know, I've been offered to go 3 times. I went 2 times, and this is my 3rd time, and I'm glad to be here.
Okay, well, this is showing one in 2001, another in 2002, another in 2003, and then in 2004 and 2005, it's showing that you refused to appear.
I don't believe I was offered one, and interestingly enough, that was my release date anyway.
Okay, well, we might want to have your CO3 look at that. They may be able to amend that record. I'm not sure if they can or not, but you might talk
right,
to
I,
them.
I don't know if it's looked upon negatively or not, but I think if they offered, I probably would have gone, except for even if I had been granted parole, I'm pretty sure I would have been out before they could have got me out on parole anyway. So
right.
I don't imagine it made a lot of difference.
Okay, so, we're in a hearing room here, which you can't see us, but there's no one present. You have no supporters present, and there's no one representing the victims present today. There's no one in the room.
Okay.
And we have no letters. We have no letters of support, or the other way. We have no letters from victims. So just to put that out there on the record. And we do have a letter, though, from the county attorney, dated January 14th, 2019. And that is a lengthy letter. I think it's 5 pages describing the crime and the following probation and kind of what happened on probation. And this letter is stating the county attorney's position that they would oppose any sort of early release. So just to put that on the record.
Right. 2 questions, if you don't mind me asking.
Okay.
One, I was surprised. The first piece of paper I've ever signed up for this hearing was, like, last week.
Okay.
And if I had time, I might have had some family or friends write a letter to you folks. Would those have made any difference whatsoever?
We consider everything like that, and anything that you submit, even if they submitted something tomorrow, it would go in your packet, and then the next time you have a parole, it would. There's a file that's maintained.
And that would lead me to the next question. It used to be that you went every 6 months, but it's been, 15 years since I've been doing this. Is it now once a year, or do I still go every 6 months?
Well, the determination is based on the time that the crime occurred. And if the crime occurred after July 1st, 1984, then the board has the option to set the hearing off for 1 year instead of the 6 months. So that's what the last board did.
Okay, and my crime was in 93, was it not?
93, so it was after the July 1st of 1984.
Within months, I missed some kind of cutoff.
No, it's with 10 years. 84. July 1st.
Oh, 84. Very good. I'm sorry. I misheard you. Very good.
That's okay.
Okay.
We don't have a good connection, so. So let me just continue. It looks like you've completed some programming. It looks like you've gone to the sex offender pretreatment. Did you continue into that program?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in it right now. I'm almost about to finish. Well, I mean, I did 9.5 years on the streets, as they say. But I'm also taking it here, yes.
So, as I understand that program, there's kind of a three-part. There's the pre-treatment, then there's the actual treatment, and then there's a maintenance program. Which one are you in?
Here they don't seem to break it down that way. However, in the free world, that is exactly how they broke it down, and I was right before maintenance.
Okay. And how long have you been participating in that?
Counting this, 10 years.
Not just counting while you've been in prison.
Correct. Well, they offered the pre that you spoke of.
Yes.
They offered, but it was like a test thing back at Cookie when they first segregated the yards. They gave a little minor, it was interesting, but they didn't really have a good idea. Then I got out and did 9.5 years of full-blown, you know, hours and hours every week of treatment. Then I came back here on the probation violation, and now I'm in another class that is all very familiar to me because of the previous 9.5 years. Does that make sense?
And how long have you been participating in that within the prison?
1.5 months.
Okay. 1.5 months. Okay, and it looks like you've also participated in thinking for change and cultural diversity and some trade skills like HVAC and things like that.
Correct, HVAC. I'm finishing tomorrow with my last day and I'll get certified. Thinking for change is done, recovery skills is done, cultural diversity is done. Oh, you probably have a list.
Yeah.
Two core classes, one electrical and one HVAC.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. Did you have, what was your profession before you came to prison?
I was customer service for Cox Communications.
Okay, so you weren't doing anything like HVAC or anything like that before?
No, ma'am. I don't know if this is a bad thing, but I used to be a homeowner, and my thought was, hey, maybe if I learn some of these maintenance things, instead of paying people to make these repairs in my home, I might be able to do some of them myself.
Well, that sounds
unfortunately
pretty smart.
Kind of lost the home when I came back this time.
That sounds smart. Okay. All right, but it looks like your plan for release would be to live with your nephew and that you have some money saved up. Is that correct?
The sale of the house generated me some income, and I still have a substantial amount of that left. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. All right, sir. Okay, so we haven't really talked about the crime itself. Why don't you tell us what occurred, sir? What occurred during that crime?
Well, it's embarrassing, as you might imagine, but a child, God, it's so, I've been a long time since I've had to talk straight up about it. A child came over with her father. The father was requesting to borrow the marijuana, and when he left to go get a smoking device, he left his child in my room. I had not previously seen a naked child before, and for some stupid reason, I thought snapping two Polaroids of the young lady would prevent me from having to stare at anything, and I did it, didn't think about it for 2 years, and then, of course, the fiancé found it, and there goes the 23 years of this.
Why was the child naked?
You know, I got in trouble for asking that because that's not supposedly the problem. The problem is why would I take a picture of her? But these parents did more than marijuana. I don't believe they're the best parents in the world, and they allowed this child to run through the apartment complex naked on a few occasions. Yeah.
Okay.
Still, I mean, I'd have been able to see that without thinking to take a picture, but yeah, but so I've learned my lesson.
Okay. Well, the report that we have from the county attorney indicates quite a few more violations. Was there anything else?
I'm sorry, say it again, please, ma'am?
The report from the county attorney discusses several, and I would say many, more violations. Was there anything else?
Oh, no way. I took three pictures, and they originally charged me, what do they call it? for industrial use. They originally thought I was trying to manufacture porn. Then somebody noticed that it was Polaroids instead of like a filmed camera, and then they lowered it from not industrial, financial gain. I don't know. There was some more serious charge prior. Then they found out they were Polaroids, brought it down to the attempted, and then they dropped one of the three pictures, and they gave me, as I said, lifetime probation for one picture, and the 15 years for the other picture. And well, I'm finishing up the second 15 years since, I guess we'll look at it that way. So as far as I know, there were only three pictures. Those are the only three charges I ever had. One was dropped, and I'm not quite sure what you said, but if somebody thinks there's more of anything, that is incorrect. There was absolutely only two charges, two pictures, and I don't know anybody even of accusing me of doing anything else.
Okay, because this report indicates, for example, that one Polaroid showed a young female with a penis in her mouth, and a former girlfriend of yours recognized your penis and clothing that belonged to you in that photo.
I'm sorry, right. No. Those were accusations made. Nothing came of them. But in one case, the penis was not in the person's mouth, and the person was of age. And it was like an optical illusion. I mean, again, silly. I can't believe how embarrassed I am to have to mention it, but they were staying in my room. I came out of a shower, had my towel on, and as I was getting ready for work, I thought it would be funny. I know now that it's not funny, but I snapped the picture, and the way the angle was, it looked like my penis was possibly in her mouth. But absolutely not. There were no charges. They investigated it. Not an issue. Okay. The other one, I'm the one that Tasha Kennedy mentioned, I truly not sure what she thought that was. So the one I acknowledged the existence of the event. The other one, I don't know what that young lady was talking about.
Okay, so had you also worked at Radio Shack and would videotape underneath skirts of female customers?
Oh, my God. Well, you've got some good records. Unfortunately, yes. I don't want to, minimize it at all. However, that group of folks at that store were doing that before I even got there. But yes, once I got there, I didn't try to put a stop to it.
Okay.
I thought it was childish, kind of stupid fun, and I did, in fact, participate in an ongoing endeavor there. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and Mr. Bocchetti, and another girlfriend had stated that she had lived with you and found photos of a 12-year-old girl who babysat in the apartment complex wearing only underwear and leaning against a bed with ties around her ankles.
No, I remember that picture, and I remember we had quite an argument over it. She was a 12-year-old girl. She was sitting on a fence over a turtle pond, and the picture did depict her underwear. She had her skirt on, but her legs were completely closed, and so you could glimpse her underwear. I wasn't quite sure why she was so upset about it,
okay.
But of course we got rid of the picture and thought it was a done deal, but it did get brought up years later.
Well,
yes.
Mr. Bocchetti, there are many more examples, and I'm not going to go into each one, but then we'll move ahead toward when you were placed on probation. That was in 2005, it looks like, and the statement by one of your probation officers said that you didn't take probation seriously. He kind of thought it was a joke and a scare tactic when you were arrested. You continued drinking alcohol. Is that true while you were on probation?
That is not true. In fact, I thought she was joking when she said to me, "How's your drinking problem going?" Because in the 9.5 years, drinking events came up 3 times, and they were all, they were all, for instance, my wife's birthday. I'm making a milkshake with blueberries and ice cream. I'm making it for like 10 people. I started to pour, maybe got an ounce of alcohol into it, and then realized that I needed to make myself a virgin version. So I stopped pouring, poured myself out a little bit, and then made the rest of the folks a full-blown regular alcoholic beverage. When I mentioned it to probation, I thought I was just, you know, being honest by telling him that I'm, you know, a half an ounce of, you know, and it turns out I guess maybe you're right. Maybe I didn't take it as seriously as they did because I didn't consider it a drinking problem. I thought it was pretty good of me to admit that by accident, basically, that I had a half a shot's worth of alcohol one of 3 times in 9.5 years. I thought it was but they, I guess, didn't seem to think so. If they thought I had some kind of drinking problem, I hadn't. They never even told me that.
Okay.
This report
that I'm looking at, the letter from the county attorney, goes on to establish several other probation violations. And they were not relating to alcohol, but they were, they concluded that you maintained contact with minor children, viewed sexually oriented or pornographic material, failed to actively participate in sex offender treatment, failed to adhere to treatment rules, placed yourself in direct contact with, excuse me, sir,
I'm sorry. Well, I'd love to be able to address these one by one, but here's my dilemma. In all the treatment, one of the most important things they don't want you to do is minimize. But when you say things that are listed before you, my automatic desire is to explain them in some way, because when you read it as a sentence, it sounds horrible. But each occasion, for instance, I took my daughter to daycare one day, and I've been taking, when I got out, I got married, got a house, started a family, everything is fine. My probation officer went and got permission from a judge to allow me to live with my daughter and wife. So for 6 months, everything's zipping along fine. And then one day, my wife hurt her leg, and we're in the car, I'm getting ready to drop my daughter off at daycare. Normally, I go in with my wife, and I both go in, sit baby down on the counter, fill out the paperwork, say hello to everybody, and leave. This time, she hurt her leg. And she asked me, well, honey, could you take Sarah in, please? And I thought, well, why in the world wouldn't I? And then, of course, once I went into the daycare center by myself as a registered sex offender, somebody called, they called probation. It was a big production. I didn't get violated on it, but believe me, did what-if list for 2 months. And I mean, I got a mental beating for that error. And yet, it's not like I was hanging out of daycare centers or the, I don't know, it just seems like when they write things down, it's not quite as innocent as it seems at the time. But, I mean, did they have the incident with the daycare there?
No, I don't see that one. I think that one they accepted your explanation. Well, sir, I'm going to, rather than continuing to pursue these, I'm going to see if my, I've asked all the questions. I'll see if my fellow board members have any questions for you, sir.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, nobody has a question anyway, sir. So, at this point, we would ordinarily open up the floor to anyone who was in support of you or any victims, and there was no one present. So, I'll just give you an opportunity, if you'd like, to make a final statement before the board goes into discussion and deliberate, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to convey to the board?
Sure. One quick question, and then I'll make up what we'll call a closing statement. Is there a chance that I can receive the documentation that you folks look at?
I don't know how that would happen. I mean, it's...
It's all right. I was just curious.
It's public information because it's written by the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. I suppose if you have your wife or somebody asked for it through the Maricopa County Attorney, it's a letter about, you know, that summarizes your
my record, right?
It's dated January 14th, 2019. In case you decide to request that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Did you give me a phone number? I'm sorry, ma'am. What was that again?
It's dated January 14th, 2019.
Very good.
And the letter is written by Sarah S-A-R-A.
Uh-huh.
McFlickier, it's M as in Mary, I C, F as in Frank, L I K I E R. She's the Assistant Bureau Chief of the Sex Crimes Bureau.
Very good. Thank you very much, ma'am, for that information.
Okay, sir.
Okay, yeah, and as far as statements go, I did something bad in 1992. I basically turned myself in when it happened because I figured, you know, maybe a year and pay a fine and do some treatment and call it a day. And instead, it has absolutely devastated my life from beginning to end until this day for 23 years. And I feel that I did take probation seriously. I was violated one time and went to IPS. 5 years after that, I violated this time. And the they offered me IPS, but I had, I guess mistakenly, acquired a lawyer who said, oh, you know what, this can go on for life, or we can probably get you down to 3 years. I paid him some money, I went in there, I could have done IPS again, did it before, it's not the end of the world, but the idea of eventually getting this behind me and being able to, you know, I don't know, do things with my daughter as she gets older, just is so appealing to not have all the restrictions that I decided to come back instead. And of course, the second I got here, I realized, and then after I lost my house, which I couldn't believe I got up enough credit and enough, you know, work history to do that, and I lost that, and I feel like I've paid my debt to society, and I'd like to have a chance to do this again, and from what I understand, until 2024, I'll be under, I guess we call it community super, we used to be parole. I guess I'll still be under parole. I'll still be, I imagine, doing treatment. And I believe, given a chance again, that I will be able to accomplish that successfully. And I also think that if we looked at the records that you had there, that we'd find that, I was a model probationer for a while. They used to have me come in there and talk to other probationers when they were misbehaving. Mr. Bocchetti, you've been doing this for a long time. You're doing real well. At one point, when I was renting out rooms in my home for extra funds to pay all the fees and the treatment costs, they had two other sex offenders move in with me, so they couldn't have thought I was the most heinous person in the world, and yet, according to the papers you're reading off to me, they seem to have a different flavor than I was given the impression of. The worst thing they've ever told me is, Mr. Bocchetti, you always fly too close under the radar. You don't actually break the rules, but you get close enough to bother us. And I understand that might be bothersome for them, but I didn't drink but 3 times in 9.5 years, and they were minor amounts. Don't want to minimize. Shouldn't have drank at all. But on the 3 occasions in 9.5, I'm sorry, there's some kind of beeping going on the phone. I don't
it's
know.
It's not on the side, but, so...
Okay, very good. Well, I don't know. There's no need. I'd like to have a chance before, my nephew's holding my money for me, and I'm a little concerned that the little nest egg I have might be gone if I have to continue on for another 3 years. I think it'd be nice. I think I would perform well. I still have a few work years left in my life, and I'd like to have a chance to go out and do it right and be a contributing member of society, and I hope you folks will give me that chance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rochetti. The word was in the discussion, and I don't know if you remember this from your prior hearings, but we do all the discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we've not discussed your case before right now, although each of us has had a chance to read your packet. So all we ask is you can just remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a bit.
Very good, ma'am. Thank you.
So thank you. The word is now in discussion. Mr. Rochetti is part way into a 10-year sentence, and this sentence would then take the place of the lifetime probation he had received. I reviewed this letter from Maricopa County attorney I went through some of the behaviors that are identified in here with Mr. Bocchetti, but the bulk of these I did not raise with him. And for me, there is cause for concern for the safety of children in the community, just based on the variety of deviant behaviors, and I am not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision. He tends to deflect and minimize any issue that's brought to his attention. But I would listen to any input of fellow board members. Okay. Then I'm going to make a motion move that we deny general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. And based on the year of the offense, I'm going to recommend a 1-year set off.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second Mr. Johnson. Agree. Mr. Neal, Mr. Cunanis. And type denied is 412A, 411 home arrest. Reasons for denial. serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim. I'm going to say serious bodily injury. I believe some of this involved touching and other such activities. In addition to photographing, there was other. I'm going to check victim harassment. Repeat offender, and that is mostly because of the repeated probation violations. I will not check recent disciplinary because it was 2015, it was a minor, and he only has 4 minors in his entire prison career, so I will definitely not check that. And there's no evident family or community support system. And do board members think of anything else that should be marked? Is there anything on there? Okay. All right, back to you, Mr. Bocchetti.
Yes, ma'am.
The board is voting to deny your parole at this time. And because of the date of your crime, we've also voted to set off your next eligibility will be in approximately 1 year. The Department of Corrections will review your materials and your circumstances and will certify you to come back before this board at that time, sir. So, did you hear the reasons for the denial?
I heard parts of them. I know that the word victim harassment jumped out at me. Somewhere there it says I harassed some victims?
Well, taking photographs of people without their approval.
You're talking about the radio check thing. Yes, ma'am. Okay. It just sounded horrible. Like, there was a victim, then I followed them around and harassed them after victimizing them. Okay, I get it. So we're talking about 131 of 20?
The department will certify you. The Department of Corrections will certify you at that point. And we are showing you with the sentence and date of May 4th, 2024.
Actually, I'm doing 65%, so hopefully I won't be going that far.
Well, that will be up to the Department of Corrections at that point. So that we can talk to your CO3 and get a more accurate date, but that's the date we're showing right now.
I see. Very good. Well, I have that date. It would be 5-5 of 21. So you're saying on January of the year prior, I might have another shot at it. Doesn't sound good. After what you've read and what I did hear you say, it doesn't sound like I'll be ever eligible to get out because I can't change the path. Like,
so eligibility is determined by probably different circumstances. I am showing an earned release credit date, which is probably what you're referring to, of March 4th, 2021. And that's based on your earned credits for behavior and such in prison. So as long as you continue going where you are, but you'd have to, the details of that are really managed by Department of Corrections, and you really have to talk to someone there. This board is a separate agency from Corrections.
Right. No, I understand. I guess what I'm wondering is, if I did see you on 131 of the year 2020, would you be able to get me out any sooner than 5-4-21? I mean, should I not waste your time and mine and... Or is it, if you were granted parole, how long does it take you to actually leave?
There would be it's kind of like, remember at the beginning of this hearing, I told you whatever the board decided today, it would take effect on May 5th of this year.
Right, correct.
So there'll be a similar date next year, there'll be a similar projected date that this would be effective. So that would be
okay, so I would still be 9 months earlier than otherwise.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, sir. So thank you for participating in your hearing today. And we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone back to the CO3 and let them know that you're done.
My particular CO3 has left. There's a different CO3
That's
here.
Fine.
If you'd like to speak to him.
Any CO3 is good. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have a good day, folks.
Thank you. You too.